first.
So is your plan again this year to take the best player on the board? Is that going to be the plan for the run?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Go ahead, everybody.
John Payton mentioned last week that you're kind of fostering this angry attitude around the building in light of the playoff disappointment. And I'm wondering if you're driven as you go into the draft and all these offseason moves the same way you were driven as a player to come back and then win those two Super Bowls.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of my makeup. And so I think that having been through, you know, what we went through last year, having number one seed and lost in the you know, 96, and we lost. The bottom line is 13-3, we had a good year last year. You know, it was a great year. But it was a great regular season. We need to start, my point is we can't be settled with that and happy with that. The fact is we got to look at 13-3, not only as players, but as a coaching staff and even on the personnel side and try to figure out how we're going to get better. But the last thing we do is be satisfied at 13-3 and losing in the first round of the playoffs, because that's not what we want.
John,
so
you're lacking an extra high round pick and you're missing a pick in the sixth. Are you more, because of that, are you more apt to be
lacking a what now? A high?
Well, you don't have any of those extra first, second, or third round picks that are usually used as ammunition to move up.
Right.
If you want. So, and you're missing one in the sixth. Are you more apt to move down, you know, trade back? Are you open to that, trading back from?
You know, I think we're open to anything. You know, and that's really where we're going to go. And again, this is always so fluid. So, you know, then plus going up is expensive to go up. But that's not saying we wouldn't take a chance if there's somebody there to be able to go up too. So, you know, I think that you look at it, you look at the depth of this draft, and you know, there's a lot of good football players in this draft. So, you know, as I stand here now, we'll get a good football player at 28, and that's our plan right now. And we'll see how things go from here through the rest of the week.
If you guys do trade, do you all use the typical NFL point per draft chart, or is it more kind of feel?
It's more feel, and I think there's so many different charts out there now. You never know who's dealing with what chart, so it's a matter of you got to go with what your gut, what you feel is right, and what's fair with where you are. And so,
how would you portray your situation on the defensive line, taking into account everything that happened?
I feel pretty good about it. I think that Robert Ayers had a good year last year and was coming on, and he's the starter there at right end right now. And so we've got the faith that he's going to come in and have a good year. So we look at it, with Knighton helping us inside, Vickerson coming back, that, you know, defensive line, we feel like we're in pretty good shape. But we're always trying to add. We're always trying to add good football players. And so I think that, we feel much more comfortable going in this draft than we did 2 years ago, and the fact that we've been able to fill a lot of holes in the last 2 years. And so it gets back to the same thing, that we feel pretty good about the guys we have, and so therefore we're going to try to get the best football players we can.
Given the number of running backs who come from the middle of the draft and turn into huge stars, what's your take on drafting right now? Especially high as a
receiver. Well, I think that when you look at the way the game has gone, obviously the passing game is a lot more important now than it has been in the past, and it's trending that way. That's not to say that a good running back, is not still very important, because you're going to need to be able to have some balance in your attack. And so I think with the trend and where it's going, that obviously the running back, it has been bumped down a little bit, but you look at Trent Richardson, went 5 last year, and if you look at how many guys have really developed, Mike Shanahan's always done a great job with guys picked in the low rounds, and so it's a matter of where you get them, the system that they're in, and hopefully they fit your system, and then you coach them.
A couple years ago, you did a really good job, obviously, of getting Von Miller, impact player, top of the draft. Go back to something you just said. When you're towards the bottom of the first round, that means you're a pretty good football team, usually. Does that give you more freedom to pick the best player available rather than worrying about need A, B, C?
Well, I think when you look at where we were a couple of years ago, we were going to go with the guy at the second pick, the guy that was going to have the most impact. And so, obviously, we're fortunate that Vaughn's had 2 great years. I think when you get to there's not always, since I've been doing this in the last 3 years, there's not been 32 first round grades. if you understand what I'm saying. I mean, very, very few are, you know, you look at 20, 21, 22, 23 first-round grades are probably given out every year. And so then when you get past that point, then you're looking at second-rounders that, okay, it's a matter of those guys are going to have the impact on you also, just not the first-round grades. And so, you know, whether in the depth of the draft is going to determine, you know, what you do there at 28 where we are. But we also think with this year's draft, as I've said, you know, we don't look at it as there's a ton of impact guys, but there is a lot of depth to it, and there's a lot of real good football players. And so that's why we feel that 28 would be able to get a pretty darn good football player.
Do you have more first-round grades than usual, is that what you're saying, or no?
No, we have about the same amount. But I'm just saying there's not, you know, when you're picking 28, there's really – Everybody's also different. You can look at all the different mock drafts. And it's kind of entertaining to me to look at the mock drafts just because you can look at how many different people look at different players different ways. But I would say with each one of the mocks and the guys that are doing the mocks, is not no one has 32 first-round grades. Some guys has a guy in the first that may have a first-round grade with somebody and a second-round grade with somebody else. So, and usually it's not when you get to 28, you're not looking at probably – some guys are going to say I had him in the first round. Some guys will say I had him in the third round. Some guys say I had him in the second round. So we just know that we feel like we'll get a good football player at 28.
How much do you feel that you need a big back, 215, 220? How much do you feel you need someone like that?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, with where we are right now with McGahee, you know, he's that big back for us right now. But I think that with you look what we have with Ronnie Hillman, he's that 190-pounder, that kind of the change of pace type guy. So, you know, we look at Willis as being that guy that's going to be the big bag for us right now, and then we'll see what happens in the draft.
As a franchise, how do you look past the maturity issues that some of these prospects have coming out of the draft to see what type of football player they could be and will be, but look past the trash in the hotel room or DUI or whatever?
Well, I think that... you know, they're 21, 22-year-old kids, and so none of them are going to be perfect. You know, there are some perfect ones in there, but none of them are going to be perfect. Obviously, it comes down to, you know, what you feel like and what's the best package. I think that my philosophy has always been the fact that as long as our core guy and that core group in our locker room is strong enough, everyone else is going to have to fall in line. It's when you have a divided locker room that you have issues with different guys that maybe have maturity issues or that type thing down the line. And so, you know, we just it's real important for us to have, you know, a real good core group of guys in that locker room, and which is to say that's we look at everybody and evaluate everybody as a player and also their personal character and see where they fit in.
You've had a week of, I guess, the first week of OTAs guys in the building. What have you seen out of Peyton Manning, demeanor, physical strength?
We haven't been able to see him. I haven't been able to see him. No. No, I've talked to Peyton. He's, you know, he's back. I think he's, you know, he seems to be a lot more relaxed to me this year, and the fact that now he's comfortable having been here for a year. Obviously, it was a big change for him coming in last year, something he wasn't used to. And so I think to have a year under his belt, he's a lot more comfortable with everything that's going on.
Many of the mocks have you taken a DN, pass rushing DN, I think because Elvis left. First of all, I guess what you were saying before, that's not as big a lead as maybe a lot of people think, number one. And then number two, could you talk about the DN class as you can?
Well, there's a lot of good football players there. And so, I mean, you know, it's kind of a matter of what kind of flavor you like, but there's plenty of defensive linemen, not only defensive end, but defensive linemen in this draft, and it's deeper than most. And so it really comes down to the flavor that you like, and is that going to be the best player available that we think is going to have the biggest impact on this football team? And so, you know, if there's a defensive end there that we feel fits that mode, then we'll pick one at 28. If not, then, you know, we'll try to find the best football player. Philosophy is in the first round, we want to find guys that are going to be 10-year guys, that are going to be good football players for the Denver Broncos for a long time. That's why it's so important. We can't make mistakes with that first-round pick. And so, because you got to look at that guy as a guy that's going to be around that you're going to hang your hat on for a long time.
How much energy as an organization do you spend on your mocks trying to figure out who might be there or who not, or do you not worry about
that? No, we do. I mean, I think that's real important because even though you're not going to be able to figure out every scenario going in, you know, it's always come down to because there's so many differences of opinion and it's going to be so fluid that for me, it's very important to get there, go through a mock, and then at 28, see the four guys that we're comparing and see who do we take out of these four guys. And so all of a sudden, if these four guys are here, we've already made that decision and been through that process before. So I like doing them, and we're going to do several of them the next two or three days so we can try to get to those scenarios and also get to scenarios where, okay, trading up or trading down. That, okay, we get there, these guys are available, we get a phone call from, you know, X, Y, and Z, and they want it, and this is what they're willing to give up. Do we want to, you know, is it something that we want to do? And so that kind of, with 10 minutes, you know, you kind of have an idea exactly what you might do in that situation and try to figure out, okay, who would be available, and if they were available, would we do it, and vice versa. So to me, the mocks are very important, and it's like practice. You know, that's why you practice. And so to me, to be able to practice, and mocks are nothing but practice and trying to get a, you know, a leg up on every different scenario that we possibly can.
John, away from the draft for a minute, I'm sure you heard that Eric Decker is going to be starring in a reality show with his fiance. What are your thoughts on this? Do you think it might take away from his football, or are you giving him a blessing?
No, he came in and talked to me the other day about it, so I gave him his blessing. I think that, you know, to each his own, and I don't think that's going to affect him. I know Eric Decker and how hard he works and what football means to him. And obviously, when you go and you're going to get married, there's two sides, and there's give and take in a marriage, right? So I kind of take my hat off to him and the fact that he's gone ahead and agreed to do that.
You mentioned having first-round grades for 21, 22, 23 guys. Have you also had the chance to be able to take guys with a first-round grade in the second round and get that kind of value when you're second round picks?
Well, you know, if you look at our picks, you know, we're thrilled with, you know, we got Wolf in the second round and Oswald in the second round last year, and then Raheem Moore and Franklin in the second round. And so those four have been solid picks for us in the second round the last 2 years. And so, you know, we also look at the second round as there's a lot of value there, and we got to find starters in that second round. So, you know, no matter what the grade is or whatever the people have the grade on them, you know, it's how we grade them. And so, you know, those have been solid picks for us.
During the pre-draft process, how do you weigh what they did on film compared to an All-Star game, a Senior Bowl, whatever, compared to the combine and their private workout? How do you weigh all those different things in this process?
Yeah, and everybody's a little bit different. I mean, you know, some guys are height, weight, speed guys. Some guys are tape guys. And some guys are kind of a combination of both, which I would classify myself. And so it's just a matter of, you know, it's a personal preference, whether someone likes apple pie, peach pie, or cherry pie, and it's how they look at those, you know, whether it be a height, weight, speed guy. And so it's just a combination. That's why it's always open discussion and talking about each different player and why someone likes them and why someone doesn't like them, and to be able to come to a common, you know, answer to where we get the right guy picked.
In light of what happened maybe not draft question, but in light of what happened with Doomer Bell, have you guys looked at or talked about changing any of the ways you guys handle negotiations, deadlines, logistics, fax machines, technologies?
Well, all I can say is there was a 1 o'clock deadline. And so I don't like the fact of how everything ended up. You know, but obviously Elvis made the choice of what he wanted to do after in free agency, and he chose to go where he wanted to go. So before that, you know, I would say that there's anything I would take back is the fact that if there's a deadline, there's a deadline, then there's a reason why there's a deadline, because you can't get everything done fast enough. So, it's an unfortunate situation, but that won't happen again.
John, I saw your fax machines.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to get into that.
Who stands out to you in the quarterback class?
You know, it's not nearly as strong as a class as it was last year, but I think Geno Smith's a guy that's a big, tall, you know, he's an athlete.
I said quarterback, not quarterback. That's my fault. Quarterback.
Did you say quarterback?
Quarterback.
Oh, corner. That's a Boston accent, I guess. Sorry. You know what I mean?
Cincinnati, you can't make up his mind.
That's right. You know, there's the thing is, the secondary class, it's a big class. There's a lot of good football players at safety and at corner, and so you know, there's plenty of guys that you know, that are going to be good football players and a lot of opportunities in this league. So it's a big class.
What about the quarterback class?
Quarterback class? I'm just glad we're not in that market. Let's put it that way. I don't
know. You did look at a couple guys came in there, were projected mid-round.
Matt, yeah. We had Matt, what's his name? From Arizona, Matt Scott. And then Dysart from, you know, we just want to get them in and meet them and you know, see what they're all about. So it is a, you know, we're always looking for quarterbacks. I think that's an area that we're always going to study and study hard. And just because of the value of that position, that if there's ever an opportunity late in the draft for a guy that we think can come in and develop and turn into a good NFL quarterback, we're going to look hard at that.
Do you think Brock would have been a first-round pick had he come out this year instead of last year, based on his class and his talent?
I think so. I think he would have been real close to the top, if not the top of this class this year. But we're just thrilled. You know, he's going to be so much better this year with a year under his belt, kind of learning how everything works and chance to work underneath Peyton. And, you know, he'll get a lot of reps this spring. You know, with Peyton kind of watching the amount of throws that he's going to make, it'll be a great opportunity for Brock this spring.
John, when you guys are doing the practice, how many voices get to put in their input as you get close to that pit?
When we get to the mocks? Or yeah.
When you guys are practicing, how many folks are getting to...
Well, we'll have five or six people in the room. Matt Russell will be in there with John Fox, and then we've got Lanny McGill and Adam Peters, who are... our college directors, our kind of assistant college directors, one's a national scout, and Lenny's the assistant college director. So we'll have them in there, and I'll ask questions and get their opinions and go from there.
John, while you've mentioned that the draft, and you're looking for players that will play for you for 10 years, at the same token, you have a window that may be closing in certain positions. Are you looking to get any immediate starters out of this draft?
Absolutely. I mean, that's... if a guy's going to play for us for 10 years, you know, we want him to be able to play for us now. And so I think that, you know, that's always the goal. You know, it's a little bit harder when your team's deeper and you don't have the needs that we have, but we want to get some solid contributors out of the class and hopefully a couple starters too. So that's always the goal, is to find these guys and get them on the field as fast as we can.
You got four offensive linemen coming back from some kind of surgery. Does that impact what you do this weekend against Houston?
Well, you know, Luis Vasquez helped us in free agency. That was one of the reasons why it was important to get Luis, because of the fact that we did have guys banged up in the offensive line. But, yeah, I mean, that's another priority, especially on the offensive side. You know, you can go through the list, and what I do is I ask the priorities from the defense, from each coordinator, and give me their priorities. And there's always more priorities than I have picks. Let's put it that way. So to try to weigh those out and figure out what's going to be the best is always a difficult thing, but we'll figure it out.
We're talking about with Clady's injury and contract situation. Do you have to have a plan B? Start thinking plan B for him, or are you confident that things will work out?
I mean, I think those are things that are brought up. I mean, every different situation is always brought up and where they fall, and that's why it's important to go through these mocks and to try to get to every different situation and what situation means more than. You know, does left tackle mean more than will backer or a defensive tackle? And those are the type of things that we have to discuss when we get there, you know, make those decisions. But, you know, I really think that eventually we're going to be in good shape with Ryan. And he's going to be back this year. And we're hoping, I still feel like we're going to be able to get something done with Ryan. So it's not a big concern of mine.
A year ago, you did really well with, I guess, less than marquee free agents, veteran guys that didn't earn top dollar. Have brought veteran players in that way. Do you anticipate doing the same thing this year, and are you encouraged by that success of doing more?
Well, I mean, I think that the situation dictated itself last year. If you look at Keith Brookin coming in, middle linebacker, and, you know, Joe Mays got hurt and went down, and then he got hurt. And so, Irving, we got Irving and Johnson inside, Nate and Johnson inside this year, that are young guys that had another year in their belt. So we'll see how they keep, you know, going through the OTAs and how they do this spring. And so as we get through that, it's always a plan to, you know, if we think we're lacking somewhere, to be able to go find a guy that's a veteran that can bring in some leadership. We're always open to that. Copeland did the same thing in the offensive line. You know, unfortunately, it worked out that, you know, fortunately and unfortunately, he came in and did a tremendous job for us. But that meant JD, just because JD went down with the ankle. So, You know, we're always looking at those type things, especially once we get through the draft, we get into OTAs, and we'll know after OTAs kind of where we sit.
Anything else for John?
Yeah, 30 for 30 coming out tomorrow, Elway to Marino on the 83 draft. How would Elway, the vice president, handle Elway, the player?
You know, I was thinking about that, and the thing is, I would have thought that Elway, the GM, would have had a much – or Elway, the position I'm in as the executive vice president of football operations, would have had a much better football organization than the one that Elway, the player, would have been stepping into. So I would hope – that's why I don't think that will ever happen with us.